Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show.
Hi and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. A couple of apologies first. Apologies for putting this podcast into the stream quite late. It's actually Wednesday the 11th of July and I'd normally put the podcast out on a Sunday, but we've had Valentino down last week and this week, and I've had lots of work on, so been very busy indeed. But it's now 9:45 in the evening. I'm looking out of the window out on our back garden, and there's still a little bit of light in the sky, even though everything's dark. So think of this as a mini podcast. I'll try and get back to my usual schedule of publishing this Sunday coming up, and when we'll have episode 199. But just for now, my apologies. And also, you might find, I'm not sure, but you may well find that the audio quality has dipped back to more of its old self, simply because my headphone adapter has just broken. So I'm back to plugging my cheap microphone set straight into Oliver's laptop, which means that there's a fair bit of background hiss, which I try and get rid of with noise reduction in Audacity, but sometimes it turns the audio a little bit kind of flat and metallic and odd sounding. So bear with me. I'll have to go and get a new headset at the end of the month when we get paid, but we'll see. So this week's podcast, The Ethics of Lighting. Just a short little bit about thinking about why you'd maybe want to use some off-camera flash or off-camera lighting, and maybe some of the things we can have in our background, the background of our mind anyway, when we're thinking about such things that could well inform us about what we should be doing and how should we be doing this. But it could be that you're tuning in to SCL for the very first time, because I had the honour last week of recording an episode of Photo Netcast with Antonio and the boys about film. Photo Netcast is another photography podcast, very popular. An esteemed group of photographers, professional and amateur, who talk about a whole range of subjects, and they're having a episode on film. So Antonio thought it would be a good idea to have me along just to put my two penneth worth in. And it was really good. I enjoyed it very, very much. So thanks to Antonio. And I think Sean was the other guy who was on it at the same time. They were very welcoming, and we had a good chat for about 2 hours. Now, as of this moment, on Wednesday evening, on the 11th of July, that episode of Photo Netcast isn't out. But it well may be over the next few days. So if you're not already a subscriber, go over to photonetcast.com, I think it is, or just do a Google search for Photo Netcast. You'll find it, and then subscribe on iTunes or with your favourite podcast catcher. If you were a listener of Photo Netcast and you've heard me on it, and that's inspired you to come over to robnunphoto.com and subscribe to SEL, thank you very much. This is a little podcast which I try and do every week. Normally lasts between 15 minutes and half an hour, where I talk about what I've been doing with my cameras and my photography, what I've learnt over the previous week. Sometimes I'll address a little bit of history of photography or techniques or ideas, or sometimes it's just me rambling on, answering questions and things like that. So thanks for coming over, join the crew. And a big part of the group is over on Flickr. If you go to robnunphoto.com and go down the right hand side, you'll see the Flickr photo group link. Go over there, join Flickr, it's free, and you can put your photos in the pool, post questions, and take part in our monthly or bi-monthly photo assignments. So, the ethics of lighting. I've talked about over the last few weeks the fact that I'm kind of getting into off-camera flash because I was lucky enough to be able to acquire three nice manual flashes that I can use either with optical slaves or with that JJC wireless system I've got as well. So, yeah, as with anything, you kind of think, oh, brilliant, excellent, I can do off-camera flashes now, just like Joe McNally. And then you come to have a go and you think, actually, this is a little bit harder than I thought it would be. And it's a whole new realm of photography when you start getting to using artificial lighting. And I also started thinking about, I'll be driving to work and I'll be thinking, what about the ethics of using lighting? You know, if you were a photojournalist, what's the ethics of using flash or some sort of off-camera lighting to change how your subject looks? You know, you could say, well, fair enough to have off-camera flash on your camera. Sorry, on-camera flash on your camera. Say you're a paparazzi or taking pictures of people in low light or something like that. But what if you were actually artificially changing the mood and look of a scene through the use of light? So I thought, that's quite interesting, isn't it? You know, maybe we should think about that in terms of our photography as well. So before we approach a subject and start to use artificial light to change it, maybe we should think about the ethics of it and what we're actually trying to achieve. So first off, why would you use some sort of artificial light to supplement natural light? Well, obviously the first thing is that there's not enough light around. You know, of necessity, you need to use a flash. Maybe there's not enough light so that you can't get a well-exposed image. You know, there's too much danger of having subject movement or camera blur because your shutter speed is too long. You know, so that's why you need to have flash. You need to have a pop-up flash or a separate light source, whether it be off-camera or a steady light. You may well need to use a flash because you want to freeze motion. We all know that a high shutter speed, thousands of a second, etc., freezes motion. But you also have the fact that a flash, when it fires off at something like a 10,000th of a second. So if you really want to freeze motion, flash is a very good way of doing it. However, the problem with SLRs especially is you have something called sync speed. And what that means is that although your flash is going off at a 10,000th of a second, your actual shutter speed is a 200th of a second, which is a lot slower, which means that any ambient light around will still light up your subject if it's too bright, and therefore you'll be believed to blur. But if you have a subject that's in very low light, where the ambient light wouldn't make it show up on an exposure, then using flash can freeze that action. And in fact, with the posher flashes, you have something called high speed sync, which means that instead of the flash flashing at a 10,000th of a second and just going off like that, it actually strobes. So you can actually sync your flash at higher shutter speed, so you can fire flash at a 1,000th of a second and the flash will strobe, you can turn on and off very, very quickly for that period of time, and you'll have a lot less power, but that enables you to freeze action that way as well. So that's another reason why you might want to freeze something. You know, like might be a runner moving past or a car or something like that. You may want to use some sort of artificial light to emulate the sun or some other light source, because it's a cloudy day and you want to have the appearance of a sunny day on your subject. Or it could be a sunny day and you don't want hard shadows, you don't want panda eyes, you want more of a diffuse look like you would get on an overcast day. Another reason to use off-camera lighting, whether it be flash or hard lights, constant lights, is to create a distinctive look. You know, perhaps a dramatic look or a subtle look. You know, hard shadows, soft shadows. Maybe you want to create like a fashion look, maybe with something like a beauty dish, butterfly lighting, that sort of stuff. But I mean, I think where I'm coming from, why do I want to use Flash? You know, why does Rob Nunn want to use Flash? And it's purely to copy another photographer, their look. When I look at one of my favourite styles of portraits is David Bailey's box of pin-up style. And if you go to any website and look up David Bailey's pictures, there's these photographs he takes of portraits of people. And they tend to be in front of bright white backgrounds. And then there'll be black and white, and then you have your subject in front of it, normally with quite strong shadows on the face. And lots of other people do, you know, David Bailey isn't the guy who invented, bright white backgrounds. Lots of other people do it as well. So you have, like, Avedon does similar things, and loads of other photographers as well. But David Bailey, I guess, is the one that I've come across, that I've seen the most. And I've got one of his books, Look, and I've another one of his books, which I can't remember now, but there was lots of these portraits, and they just appeal to me. I like it. And there was first the technical challenge of, like, how do you do that? How do you have a really bright white background? And part of it would be using studio lights, or in my case, using flash. And I want to copy that look so that I can create images that look like that. Because I'm a big believer in the fact that if you see an image or a style that you like, if you go through the process of trying to copy that style, you'll learn something, you know. And it may well be the fact that you don't like doing that. But the process of doing it will teach you technical things, like simply setting up your flashes and your stands and your tripod and all this sort of stuff, that you will then incorporate into your own style. You know, you'll adapt. I'm not saying I want to be David Bailey. I don't want to have all my photographs on my photo stream to be David Bailey, you know, box of pinups type portraits. But by trying to emulate that look, which I really like, I know I will progress as a photographer, because you kind of do your first, I did the first one, and I kind of set up to get my white background, I've got a slide projector white screen. Not very big, so it's just big enough to do headshots. I thought, right, okay, so I'll use a flash to bounce off that, so make that very white. You know, and then I set up another flash sort of above and to the left of the camera shining down on the subject. I took some photographs like that. And that's fair to start off with. I was fairly happy with those. Until you then start looking at where the shadows are, and you think, actually, I could do that a bit differently. Maybe I need a reflective there to bounce it off. Maybe I need to diffuse the light a little bit more. And then you start getting it more into it. You start to, understand the physics of lighting. And, you know, the simple things like getting your light closer makes it softer, bigger lights are softer, further away is harder, and the drop-off you get of light across a subject, that sort of thing. But by physically trying it, you start to understand it. You know, it doesn't matter how many times you go through the Strobis and read Lighting 101 and go through his field notes, until you actually start diving in and start getting your hands dirty with the act of trying to recreate these photographs. It's not going to happen. So there we go. So that's one of the parts of the ethics of lighting for me. It's purely to copy somebody else. And by copying them, I'm learning, and then that kind of changes with my style into something else. I mean, another style of photographer I really enjoy looking at as well is Rankin. R-I-N-K-I-N. Yeah, his fashion photography and stuff. The danger with some modern photographers, though, like Rankin and stuff, is they do an awful lot of retouching as well. And the balance between what's actually been achieved in camera with flash and what's been achieved on Photoshop afterwards can be a bit difficult. So sometimes you're chasing an elusive goal. But Rankin tends to use things like ring flashes, so there's not that many shadow in his fashion photography. But if you pick up, like, a copy of his magazine, which is what's it called? Is it Desire? I can't remember now. But if you search for Rankin on the web, you go to his website and you'll see his portraits. He actually does lots of different styles as well. He does moody black and whites and all sorts of stuff. And purely to sit there with his image and go, gosh, how on earth did he do that? Right, I'm going to have a go. And then you realize, you know, you look at butterfly lighting, portrait lighting, split lighting, all this sort of stuff. And you can start getting an idea of what's needed and the different types of variety you can come up with. So there we go. I'm kind of guessing what I'm saying is, you know, if you can recreate the look of another photographer, you won't be able to do it exactly unless they've told you exactly with images how to do it. But you adapt and you learn from that act of simulation. Because I think it's really important to think about why we do these things, you know, why we use off-camera flash, to better understand what we need to do it. You know, so if you're using off-camera lighting to simulate the sun, you know, really think about, okay, so if I'm simulating the sun on a, you know, on a sunny day, what's that going to look like? You know, when a person's standing in the sun on a sunny day, what do they look like? Well, they tend to be, you can get quite harsh shadows, can't you, on them? So maybe that's not what I want. I want more of a look under a diffuse day, like maybe it's an overcast day, or they're standing under a tree or something like that. And then you can start to think about these things and do them that way. So there we go. Next time you start to delve into your box of tricks to add a certain style or technique to your photographs, think about why you're doing it, and maybe that'll help you to achieve it in a better way. Okay, so there we go. A little short episode this week. Thanks to everybody for taking part in the Flickr group. Remember, it's free. Put your photographs in. Take part in the photo assignment. Some great work over there at the moment with the next 2 months assignment. Very, very good indeed. Remember, if you want to help SEL, the SEL Photography Podcast, if you're on iTunes, go to iTunes, find the SEL Photography Podcast and write a little review, or even just put some stars against it, or in whatever podcatcher you're doing, if they've got some sort of catalogue or list, find SEL and put a little review on, and give us some nice stars. That always helps us get more listeners, and more listeners means, you know, a bigger community of great photographers for us all to share their work. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do their intro and outro music, but most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphotographer.com. Remember, you can contact me. Just email me, scalespeeder@gmail.com. That's scalespeeder@gmail.com. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.